Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Good morning and welcome to the programme today. Hope for couples who plan to marry in August as Cabinet considers raising the guest limit to 100. Hospital nurses facing busy summer wards coupled with the worry of rising COVID admissions. A 2.5 year wait for those with gender dysmorphia to get an appointment. The HSE lead on gender services will be here. Is it the government's job to tackle social media abuse? We hear about one woman's experience online and the plans for an online safety commissioner. When a fear of dogs becomes a debilitating phobia, we'll hear how to recognise and treat it. Text us this morning, 51551 is the number. Our email address is todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. Around 200 brides-to-be are set to march on government buildings in their dresses and veils this afternoon in a protest calling for an increase in wedding numbers. Now, the demonstration has been timed to coincide with today's Cabinet meeting, where expanding capacity at weddings is set to be discussed. The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, speaking ahead of the Cabinet meeting this morning, said, "I think it will be good news. It's a relatively small number of people. I can't preempt a Cabinet conversation, but we should have something positive to say in a few hours' time." That's what the Minister was saying on the way into that Cabinet meeting. And to take a further look at all of this, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Ray Walley, who's member of the National GP Advisory Team to the HSE and also UC Associate Clinical Professor. Also on the line, bride-to-be from Limerick, Tracy Leonard. But first, Dr. Walley, to you. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Claire.
So if weddings are increased to 100, which looks likely now given what the Minister said this morning, we know they're big family affairs, they're long days out, even though there'll be an early finish. There tends to be a lot of alcohol as well at an Irish wedding. Does it trouble you, doubling the number of guests?
Obviously, there needs to be vaccine dividends to the great fact that we have 68% of people fully vaccinated, 83% of people partially vaccinated, and we're now seeing the opening of vaccinations for 16 years and up. Obviously, we have, unfortunately, the Delta variant has increased in numbers. We are starting to see an increase in numbers of admissions to hospital and a small uptick in admissions to ICU. So all of these things are in the environment of these decisions. We have learned a lot. The reason why we are done very well is because the public have done what they have been advised to do. And over the last few weeks, there have been put in place, with obviously opening this week of indoor dining, so there's benefits in digital cert. We've got a lot more organizational structures there for indoor dining and other venues. And similarly, there will be an expansion, obviously, to hotels and venues like that.
Yeah.
And you will have an increase in numbers. I'm optimistic that may happen. It obviously will be under the guidance of the Chief Medical Officer. We all have a part to play in this. And obviously, the downside can be that people can drink too much and they can become disinhibited. And that is a concern.
With weddings as they are, the 50 people who go to a wedding now, there's no restriction there as to whether you're vaccinated or not. Would you prefer to see only those who are fully vaccinated being permitted to attend a wedding?
Well, I think the difficulty will be that we have young children at these, so possibly there will be an expansion numbers with the inclusion of a lot of the applications that we're using for restaurants. I do have concern about unvaccinated children being, pardon me, in a restaurant or in a hotel setting or a wedding venue, but all of that needs to be guided by oversight from the NPHET and the Chief Medical Officer.
But you could have a 20-year-old now going to a wedding today, unvaccinated or partially vaccinated. If it's decided that there's going to be 100 people at a wedding, but they all have to have their DCC, their vaccination cert, that 20-year-old is not going to be permitted to go.
And that is the difficulty with this decision. And obviously, with our vaccine levels being so high, on one side, you could say, should we delay it to ensure we have greater numbers? On the other side, you've got that you want to get progress in society, opening up to continue people to be engaged with this. And this is a big decision for government, and a decision only a government can make on the basis of the guidance provided by the Chief Medical Officer in the context of the increasing levels of the Delta variant.
Okay, but you understand the anxiety for couples and their families who are getting married, and they were told at one stage that the numbers will be going up to 100 in August, then they were told they weren't, and now they're in limbo still this morning, even though perhaps the news is looking more positive.
It is very, very difficult, and the problem is Delta variant doesn't play by any other rules than it loves congregations, it loves unvaccinated people. The greater majority of people, 95% of the people who are getting sick are unvaccinated, only 5% are happening in vaccinated people, and the greater majority of admissions are in unvaccinated people, and that is the same the world over. And the problem with this virus is it doesn't play by any other rules other than congregation and infecting people close to each other and trying to effectively make you sick.
The other issue I wanted to ask you about was the fact that the COVID-19 vaccine registration is open today for people aged 16 and 17. Do you believe that will make a big difference to the progress of the virus?
Definitely, again, by increasing the herd immunity numbers, and you will have heard that we're talking about in the order of 85 to 90%, we do need to vaccinate as many people as possible, and that involves the 16 to 17-year-olds. So certainly, I continue vaccinating in my practice on a fortnightly basis, the same way other practices have done so. Although that being said, we can actually do it more frequently because the Pfizer vaccine that we're getting and the Astra vaccine that we're getting are more durable, and we're allowed to keep them in our fridge for longer periods, so we're getting around holidays and things like that. But for example, it's only within the last week that you'll find that GPs are now competing with the HSE centres. So it's great to hear that you ring a 18-year-old saying, no, I've got a vaccine appointment in the Helix or the Sword Centre or the UCD Centre. And it's great to be in competition with each other. It's equally great that we're now hearing that there's a number of centres that are going to be opening up as walk-in centres throughout the country. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of one in Kerry being opened.
What about the risks for younger people from mRNA vaccines? Because we have heard, haven't we, about a link between heart inflammation in adolescent boys and the mRNA vaccine. What can you say to people to reassure them?
This vaccine now has been given in a number of countries, including Israel, including the US, for a number of months. There are many millions of children. I understand the incidence is in the order of 1 in 100,000. It is correct to say that it is predominantly in boys and kids, adolescents who are of older years, maybe 16, 17, 18, or up to 30 years of age. It is something which is short-limited. That's what we're finding. And certainly the problem is, what we do know is that, again, if you were unfortunate enough to get infected by COVID, you could equally get the same problems happening. Like, we're hearing that there is 1 million younger people in England who are now suffering from long COVID. We do know that long COVID is more common in older people, in the order of 10 to 20% in some studies in the UK, whereas it is a smaller percentage, maybe 1 to 2% in younger kids in the UK, because unfortunately they've had a bigger prevalence than us. But certainly the weighing scales is that the risk of getting the virus and causing a problem is greater than the risk of getting a problem with the vaccine, with something like myocarditis, which is inflammation in the heart, which has been found to be short-lived.
Okay.
So certainly if I had a kid around that age group, I would be advising my child to get vaccinated. And, these are decisions that the child has to be part involved with. So the over 16s will be having that discussion with the GP in regard to providing informed consent.
And it looks like NIAC is going to announce its decision on extending the rollout to 12 to 15 year olds. So there's another group of parents who will have a decision to make, it looks like.
Yes, and it remains to be seen what decision they make. Obviously, we are aware that in England, the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, JCVI, have decided to do that in a more cautious manner. So they have advocated that it will happen in people who are immunocompromised, children suffering from Down syndrome, children with multiple medical problems or learning difficulties. But equally, that JCVI are taking a monitoring role on possibly expanding it when that group of people are vaccinated. So it remains to be seen whether we are going to emulate what has happened in Israel or what has happened in the US, or whether we're going to do what is happening in the UK. That being said, again, it's all down to risk analysis on the risk and benefits. What we do know is that at the moment we have Delta variant, which is highly infectious. And the problem is, with the nature of coronavirus, we could equally, in a few months, have even a more infectious variant. So what we need to do is dampen down the petri dish to allow non-growth of new variants, such that we are disallowing further expansion of new variants, such that we're increasing the herd immunity to ensure that we can all get on with a proper life, including opening up our schools and having less infections in our schools in the winter.
Okay, Dr. Wiley, thank you for joining us. And the Irish Times reporting that NIAC may have that decision today on vaccine rollout when it comes to 12 to 15-year-olds. But back now to the issue of weddings. Irish Hotels Federation President Elena Fitzgerald-Kane joins me on the line. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Claire, to you and your listeners.
So I'm sure you heard me saying there that Minister Donnelly said he expects to have good news for couples who are intending to get married after Cabinet today. It is expected that the numbers will rise to 100, something I'm sure you'll welcome.
Absolutely. Look, it's been quite the emotional roller coaster for wedding couples. I have some couples who are on their fifth date, and, you know, the anxiety and the stress levels. And I suppose there were so many kind of indicators that would have suggested that numbers of 100 weren't impossible. And the prospect of probably uninviting guests and the fallout from it would be huge. And I suppose it's fair to say, Claire, you know, in the main, the majority of guests are vaccinated. You're talking about very spacious ballrooms, many of which offer in excess of current social distancing requirements, you know, fantastic contact tracing in the context of table plans. But we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. Weddings have been taking place since the 29th of June last year. Everybody wants to make it work. We work very hard with Fáilte Ireland, with oversight from the HSA, the HSC, you know, the SAI, WHO and many others. And there is a sense of people know what to do. People want to play their part and make it work.
But what could happen here now is that wedding guests will be required to have their DCC cert, just as you would be if you were going to dine indoors. What difference will that make? Because that hasn't been a requirement up to now. So if you have 50 guests, nobody asks whether they're vaccinated or recovered.
Correct. And I suppose that's a change. But if you look at the prerequisites now for indoor dining, I think in part there's an acceptance for it. There are always people who it's not their will to be vaccinated. They don't believe in the system and they may not be able to be medically vaccinated. And that's where it becomes difficult as well. And government has a tough decision in that respect. But everybody wants this to be as safe and sustainable as possible.
Mm-hmm. But it's difficult for couples and for hotels as well and venues to turn people away on that basis now, if that's what's going to happen.
It is difficult, but it's no more difficult than doing it in an indoor dining or hospitality capacity, you know. But I suppose the difference here is you can imagine someone coming to your door, you know, all dressed up, all ready to go. But look, if that's what the requirement is, I think it would be embraced by couples in the main. Obviously, consideration has to be given for children, or potentially it might be for other unvaccinated guests. But you're talking about couples who are 10 days, in some cases, before their wedding. You know, they are absolutely emotionally wrecked from being on this journey. And I think that any increase, you know, because at the end of the day, everybody wants their wedding to be safe, you know, and that's every wish of every couple, every venue, every supplier. And, you know, whatever infrastructure needs to be put in place to make that happen in the best way, I think there's going to be, you know, it's going to be embraced.
OK, Elena, stay with us, because as I said, Tracy Leonard is with us, a bride-to-be from Limerick. Tracy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks for having me.
So when Elena said there that people are absolutely wrecked dealing with this, you popped into my head immediately, because your wedding is Friday week, August 6th, and this is your third planned date.
Yeah, that's correct. My third date.
So your plan was to have 100 people. Your fiancé is from England, so you've got people coming from there to the wedding.
Yeah, we've got about 35 guests traveling from UK across, so they've already had to change their flight three different times from the different dates and stuff. So if well, please God, everything goes our way, but if it's not, we get to the position of who do I choose? Do I choose people that have booked their flights and accommodation and reduce the number of the Irish people, or what do I do? But I haven't even thought of that I haven't thought that far ahead.
Have you warned your guests or said to them, look, we just don't know? You haven't said that?
I haven't said it to the UK crowd because his poor mom has been very stressed over the whole thing. So we're just hoping that the stress we're feeling right now is, so it's going to have been unnecessary at the end of the day. Of the day. And hopefully what Stephen Donnelly said earlier this morning becomes true and that we're happy.
How do you feel or how will you feel if you have to ask your guests whether or not they've been vaccinated before they can come in and have the meal?
Well, to be honest, I probably know. Well, I already do. I think only 7 guests haven't been fully vaccinated. So like myself, my friends, we'd be having the conversations and my family and stuff. And all the people travelling from the UK are fully vaccinated. So it is only a handful of guests. So we 7 guests out of 100 who won't be vaccinated. And are fully vaccinated. Everyone, all those 7 have had at least one.
Okay. And will you be okay with telling them or asking the venue to tell them that they can't come to the wedding?
No. No, because one key person in my bridal party isn't fully vaccinated.
Okay. It's a very difficult conversation to have. And we don't know whether that stipulation will be there, Tracy, or not. We're just really looking down the line, aren't we? How has all of the uncertainty affected you?
Well, like, if you think about it, it was last week when Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin made, in my opinion, flippant comments about thought or concern about weddings and the number of deaths. So the last week hasn't been enjoyable, just with the stress and trying to figure out what are we going to do. Do I just sit and wait or do I try and plan? So I did just take the decision, look, I'm just going to sit and wait. This decision is somewhat out of my control, but to be fair, I've sent multiple emails to Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin and other TVs and the Irish Times, and I have a friend getting married the day after me and she's been doing the same and she'll be up to marriage today, and then I have a brother getting married a month after me, so we've all kind of been in the same boat, so at least I've been able to talk to people, but it hasn't been enjoyable. There's no excitement.
Well, look, hopefully that will come back for you. You know, it's a really important day, and let's hope when you get to the 6th of August, Tracy, that you feel all of the joy that you should.
Please God.
Thanks for talking to us, Tracy. Leonard, Elena, that really, I suppose, shows us what people are going through. It's very, very tricky, isn't it?
It's just, I mean, you can hear, you know, in Tracy's account there, just, the fun has gone out of it for so many people. But the one thing that I would say to Tracy and lots of other brides is a great day awaits. Yes, it's a very different wedding to what we've before. You know, right now there's no music and, you know, you'd hope to see the return of that as soon as possible. You know, when it's safe, considered safe to do so. You know, right now it's an earlier finish time. But, you know, people are having their ceremonies a little bit earlier. Everybody's behaving very responsibly. You know, the outdoor weather has really helped in terms of, you know, potentially doing arrival receptions outside. There's less people and less capacity in a lot of venues because of social distancing. It's very much a private space. But what I will say is it has none of the weddings that we've hosted now, even in our own hotel, we hosted 19 in July or will be hosting 19 in July. They've all been so enjoyable and so richly deserved, you know, by couples and their families. And they've been so respectful. Everybody wants to make this work and to be the best day ever.
Let's see what emerges from Cabinet in a few hours. Elena, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I see Conor Murray has been selected to start the second test against South Africa. Warren Gatland has made 3 changes. So good news for the Irish contingent there. A texter says, what's this COVID digital card you speak of? I've been fully vaccinated since May. I've tried for 3 days to get through on the COVID helpline to no avail. Why isn't this highlighted more? Well, we are going to be talking about that later because we had contact from somebody who's getting married in Malta on Friday and has tried absolutely everything to get his digital COVID certificate with no joy. So we'll be asking some questions about that a little bit later on. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.